God. And the kingdom of God is something we're going to be looking at, not just this year, but for the next couple of years, because it's so awesome, it's so vast, it's so deep. There are so many truths that relate to the kingdom of God that are supposed to affect our lives as believers as we impact not just ourselves, but also impact the world around us. So what is the kingdom? The word kingdom refers to a king who has a domain. A king who has acted by his domain over his subjects. So if I was to ask you today, what kingdom do you belong to? What kingdom do I belong to? Now, if you're a believer here, I would hope that we would say that my domain or the kingdom I belong to is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. So I want to ask us a question today. This week, you and I have had several opportunities to demonstrate who really has the rule over us. And I want to ask us, this week, how have I demonstrated the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has dominion over us? When you were driving this week, when you got to work late and they asked you why you were late, things you were saying this week, things you were doing this week, things you were looking at this week, God has called us to stand and to be in his kingdom. And as such, it's important that we understand what the kingdom is and what it represents to us today. You know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say?" And so for us as subjects of God's kingdom, it starts with us being willing to submit ourselves to his rulership. The kingdom of God is about demonstrating God's kingdom in the marketplace, but also within our hearts, within our lives, our thoughts, our minds, our will, our emotions, our focus, our emphasis, our passions, our desires. That's why Jesus said on that day, many will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we raise the dead?" And he'll say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I didn't even know you." So how is it possible to demonstrate the kingdom and yet not have the kingdom demonstrated in our own personal lives? When Jesus preached the gospel and when he preached the kingdom, there was always a correlation between righteousness and the power of God. And it's like two sides of the same coin. When we're talking about kingdom impact, when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's about righteousness, but it's also about power. That's why the Apostle Paul said his speech and his preaching wasn't with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. And whenever you'd see Jesus speak of the kingdom, teach the kingdom, there was always a demonstration of the kingdom. Devils were cast out. Sick were healed. The dead were raised, the lepers were cleansed, the poor received good news, lives were transformed because of the power of the kingdom. And when we demonstrate God's kingdom, God's domain, God's rulership, then we will see the power of God demonstrated. First and foremost in our own hearts, then in where he's called us to be. God's kingdom is counterculture. It doesn't fit neatly into boxes. It's not supposed to be socially relevant as such. It's supposed to demonstrate God's rulership. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall receive the kingdom of God." They shall receive the kingdom of heaven. And so sometimes when we think about the kingdom and all that it represents, we can sometimes feel like maybe we don't qualify to demonstrate that. But Jesus said, the poor in spirit can access, can enter into that kingdom. Because when we're poor in spirit, we recognize our need for God. We recognize that in our own strength, we can't do it. We recognize that we have failings, we have flaws, we have weaknesses. But it's not about what we can and can't do. but it's about our willingness to engage with God. It's about our willingness to allow Him to show lordship. It's about our willingness to partner with Him. And so when His Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts that something we're engaged in, something we're doing, we shouldn't be doing that, it's about us choosing to respond to His Spirit. And when we do that, it makes the power available to transform our lives. The kingdom of God has many, many different descriptions throughout the New Testament. And we're going to look at a few of them. And then we're going to look at one area in particular that I want us to focus on today. You know, in the kingdom of God, some are called great and some are called least. And that might seem slightly unfair because we want everybody to be a winner. We want everyone to be great. But there are characteristics that Jesus taught about that demonstrate those who are considered great in God's kingdom and characteristics that demonstrate those who are called least in His kingdom, not based on what society says or what your friends say or what people in your vicinity may say, but based on what God thinks. Because at the end of the day, it's what God thinks that matters. It's what God deems that matters. It's what God has to say. That's the only thing that's going to have any eternal and lasting consequence or lasting reward. That's why the scripture says we should set our eyes on things above. We should set our heart on things above, because if we don't, it can become so easy to think, when you think about God's kingdom, you kind of compartmentalize it and leave it there and you just do as you normally do it. But that's not what God's called us to. The Bible says we've been called to reign as kings and priests, to have our spiritual service and our natural service. And it's not a dichotomy. It's not one at the expense of the other, but it's all together. That's why regardless of where God has called you to be in this season, wherever He's called me to be in this season, if we are willing to see it as part of our devotion to God, there's no loss of reward. If we are willing to embrace the season that God has called us into, we're able to be fruitful wherever we're planted. And we're able to bring forth fruit and show fruitfulness in season. Rather than getting so caught up with what the person next to us is doing, what the person behind us has achieved, what the person in front of us has got that we don't have. But if we understand the kingdom, we understand the parables and the principles of the kingdom, then we're able to walk in the path God has called us to. We're able to rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in all that He's doing in our lives with thankfulness and gratefulness. And when we see somebody else in a different season, we're able to celebrate. Not look at them with envy or jealousy or trying to find something wrong with them to justify why they're not really as all that as they think they are. But we're genuinely, that's why the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity, the bond of peace. That's why the scripture says, mark those who cause divisions. Make a note of those people who say things and imply things and suggest things that when they finished, you kind of look at that person a bit differently. You look at the leadership slightly differently. You think about the church vision slightly differently because of what they have said. The Bible says, mark those ones. You know, when Jesus described the kingdom, He said the kingdom is like a man who has a field and he sows seed. And then the people fall asleep. And then someone comes along and sows tares. And then they begin to grow together. The wheat and the tare. And you know, He was talking about the kingdom. And the thing about wheat and tares, when they're growing, they look the same. It's almost impossible to distinguish between the two. You know, sometimes immaturity and rebellion can look like the same thing. But if we're seeking to walk with God, even though externally people can't make out what it is we're doing or what it is we're at, if we're walking with God, then the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And when we hear His voice, we always have a choice. That rhymes. We hear His voice, we always have a choice. Whether or not we choose to respond. The kingdom of God, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about kingdom impact. So the scripture describes the kingdom as a field. The scripture also describes the kingdom of God as a seed. Very often throughout the New Testament, you see Jesus refers to the kingdom as a seed. And a seed is a curious thing, because what a seed starts off looking like versus what it becomes is two completely different things. When we allow the kingdom to impact our lives, how we look at the beginning versus how we look at the end is completely different. But here's the curious thing about a seed. A seed's environment affects how effective that seed becomes. A seed's environment affects how effective a seed is able to become what it's supposed to become. That's why when Jesus gave the parable of the sower who sowed seeds, the seed was the word of God. That didn't change. But depending on the type of soil or the type of environment that seed landed on, it affected how fruitful. It affected how much evidence was able to be demonstrated in the lives of those individuals. The first seed, the Bible says, Jesus, when he was explaining the parable, said they didn't understand. They didn't even understand what the word was, what the message was, what the seed represented. And so the enemy was able to take it away. When you and I don't understand what God's word says and how it is applicable to us today, then it's very easy for the enemy to come and steal that seed away. The scripture says, my people perish through lack of what? Knowledge. We need to know what God is saying. We need to know what God's word said. Jesus consistently said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And sometimes Jesus would say the obvious, but really it wasn't obvious, because if it was obvious, he wouldn't need to say it. So what he was saying is, don't just hear, but listen, understand, apply it, because that is when we see the transformation take place. Obedience is a prerequisite for us to be able to experience and enter and be impacted by the kingdom of God. You know, we're all on the same level playing field. We all have equal distance to God and to his kingdom and to seeing it demonstrated in our lives. But it's up to us to press in. In Proverbs, it says this, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search it out. And here's another curious thing. Jesus himself said that when he speaks about the kingdom, now I'm paraphrasing it, when he speaks about the kingdom, he uses parables on purpose. He deliberately uses parables. And parables aren't told to make things easier for us to understand. In fact, parables, you look in the New Testament, in Matthew, you'll see Jesus explains it. Parables are given so that those who see can't see, and those who hear can't hear. And the reason for that is, and then Jesus goes on to say, so that he who has, more will be given. And even those who have, what they have will be taken. So what that demonstrates is, because of how precious the kingdom of God is and what it is that it represents, God has designed it in such a way that only those who are truly hungry, those who are truly willing, those who are truly willing to press in and to search and to cry out to God are able to unlock those things. The scripture says, deep calls on to deep. And God is not cheap. God isn't cheap, even though at times we treat him like he's cheap. Even though at times we give him the dregs and the leftovers, God ain't cheap. God knows the value of what it is he has. And so the Bible says what? When you seek me with what? All your heart, then you'll be found of me. When you seek me with all your heart, They asked him, Lord, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. He wants everything. He wants all of it. 100%, nothing less. Because he's given us everything. Everything we need for life and godliness, he has given it to us. And when we choose to hold back, it's because we've done just that. We have chosen to hold back. Because the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit, he is our guide. He is our counselor. He's our comforter. He leads us into all truth. He leads us into all truth concerning the kingdom of God and what he wants to do through us. He has empowered us with every single thing we need. The Bible says when anyone's tempted, God always makes a way of escape. There is no temptation. There is no temptation. There is no temptation except that which is common to everybody. But in every way, God will make a way of escape. Remember, we're talking about kingdom impact. We're talking about the fact that there are many different ways in which God describes or Jesus describes what the kingdom's like. And we're talking about the fact that it's described as a seed. My question to us today is, how much of that seed of the kingdom is growing and manifesting in our lives? Is being fruitful? Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You see what Jesus did, and Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Now, was Jesus mad? Was he lying? Or was he telling the truth? So the problem isn't the seed. The problem isn't the kingdom. The problem is the environment that we have prepared for that seed to take place. If you want a seed to grow, you have to water it. You have to nurture it. And at first, you don't see anything. But as time goes on, you begin to see a shoot, a bud, and then it begins to grow and develop. And then it produces more fruit and more fruit. And it becomes cyclical. And that's how it is in our walk with the Lord. There are seasons, there are cycles. But if we're not walking with him and we're not listening, we'll get confused. And when we should be standing still, we're marching forward. And when we should be marching forward, we're standing still. The Bible says there's a season for everything under heaven. There's a time and there's a season. And the master of time, the master of seasons, is our Heavenly Father. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about kingdom impact. Our faith unlocks the kingdom. And our faith, or rather faith, will cause somebody who's disqualified to become qualified and leave those who are qualified disqualified. You look at the scriptures. People who had no right accessing the kingdom because of their faith were able to overtake those who were already sons of the kingdom, but because they refused to hear what God's word was saying, refused to hear what the Spirit of God was saying. I mean, think about it. Jesus appeared. In fact, let's turn to that. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. So it was a Sabbath, as it normally was, and Jesus went into the temple, as he normally did, but something different. He had just come from the wilderness. That seed of the kingdom was put in an environment to press, to draw out what it was God wanted him to do in that season. Now, Jesus could have come and done this any other time. But the Bible says when he was baptized, that the Spirit, it's okay, it's just people walking into church. Hello. The scripture says that after he was baptized, the heavens opened And the Spirit came upon him like a dove, and the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Soon as the Spirit of God says that about Jesus, he drives him into the wilderness, where the Bible says for 40 days and for 40 nights, he fasted. And the Bible says when he was finished, the devil came to tempt him. That was the season God required of Jesus in order for that seed to break out. Because it's after that time of temptation, time of weakness. I mean, how many people here have ever fasted for 2 days? I don't mean breaking it at six. I mean, just water. For, you see, the hands have gone down apart from Holy Nicholas and Holy Angela. 40 days, 40 nights. He comes to the temple. That was the season that he was supposed to be in. And then the Bible says, I think this is awesome. Oh, I just think it's so, well, Jesus is awesome anyway. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he just smashed it in verse 21. He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If you look at some of those aspects of what he read out, those are whispers of the kingdom. And he was saying, today it's been fulfilled. And the Bible says they were shocked. They were offended that these gracious words were coming from Jesus. And they said to themselves, but isn't this Jesus, Mary and Joseph's son? It offended their sensibilities because they were carnal and unspiritual. They heard the same scripture that Jesus had read. And for Jesus, it meant he was able to walk into the season that God had called him to. And the rest of them all missed it because of their carnality and lack of spiritual insight. Talking about the seeds of the kingdom. We're talking about creating an environment where the seeds and the truth of the kingdom are able to germinate and manifest the sons of God. The Bible says all of creation eagerly groans to see the sons of God manifest. But if you just see yourself as a mere human being, struggling, hustling, trying to get day to day, then that'll be our reality. But if we recognize whose kingdom we are in and whose kingdom is within us, then it transforms our lives. When we approach the things of the kingdom naturally, we will always miss the kingdom. When we just think of things naturally. When Jesus taught and preached about the kingdom, he healed the sick, he healed diseases, he demonstrated God's power. When the kingdom is preached, there are signs accompanying it. Devils are cast out when the kingdom is manifest. There are mysteries that surround the kingdom that only those who are hungry can find out. I'm trying to cut down how much I've got to say. How much time have I got, Frankie? Do you know how much time I've got? Oh, I've got 16 minutes. Okay, let's fast forward. Okay. So the kingdom of God is described like a mustard seed. It's described like a field in which the enemy comes and sows wrong'uns in. It's described like a mustard seed. You know, in Zechariah, the script, the prophet says, do not despise small beginnings. Because if you look at, when it comes to the kingdom, if you look at things just with the natural, you will miss it every single time. Every single time. The Bible says that God is a spirit. And we are made in the image of God. And so we are primarily spiritual human beings. We are primarily spiritual beings. And God primarily relates or communicates to us through our spirits. But if our spirits are so dull, weighed down with the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, love of other things, sin, compromise, worldliness, carnality, then it's almost impossible to hear what your spirit's saying. Now, I think most people nowadays don't use the radio, but who remembers back in the day, like in the 70s, when you had the radio and you would have to turn the dial? And if you like to listen to pirate radio stations, you had to really get a good connection, otherwise you couldn't hear it. Any old people like me in the house, yeah? Okay. So basically, in our day, many, many years ago, a radio was a knob that you turned and it would pick up different wavelengths. There was L, long wave, medium, and FM is where it had the hot tunes in it. Do you remember? Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that's still the case. And when you got a good connection, you could really enjoy the music. You could enjoy the beat, yeah? Okay. We need to get a good connection. We need to get a good connection. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, my darlings, my loves, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You have to put your money where your mouth is. You have to invest your time. I can't invest my time for somebody else. You know, we were looking at this at the Exceptional Women, where, you know, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. They suddenly realized, the foolish ones, we need to get ready. But it was too late. And to get oil, it takes time. It takes effort. You have to press those seeds to get the oil, and then you have to filter it. It takes time. It takes effort. And then the foolish virgins wanted to take the wise virgins. Oh, and they were like, sorry, mate. You're on your own. You need to get your own. Because the wise virgins recognized the importance of preparation. The wise virgins were willing to go above and beyond to create what they needed in order to be ready to receive what it was God was going to do in that season. And the foolish virgins thought, okay, I'll get round to it. I'll do it at some point. Jesus said, one thing is needed. One thing. But Jesus, can't you see? I'm busy. I've got responsibilities. Jesus said, one thing is needed. I mean, think about it. Jesus is coming to your house for dinner. That kind of busyness, you'd think, okay, that one's really important because Jesus is coming to your house. And Mary's just sitting there at Jesus' feet like she's got nothing to do. So it's understandable why Martha would be annoyed. It's like, for goodness sake, can you just, got stuff to do, pots to clean, rice to cook, whatever. And so he says, Jesus, can you tell her to get off her lazy and come and help me? And you think, you say, actually, do you know what? She's got a point, Mary, come on. See, if you're walking with God and you're hearing his voice, you'll know when it's time to be still. And whatever you have to do to make it happen, you will make it happen. I'm telling you. Whatever you have to do, if it is important enough for you, I don't care how many responsibilities you have. If it is important enough for you, you will make time. If it's not, you'll make excuses. And I guarantee you, there will always be an excuse why you cannot seek God today. There will always be an excuse why you've got far too much on to juggle, why nobody understands. And then 10 years from today, you're in the same predicament. God gives grace. God gives grace. God gives grace. That's why the Bible says we should come boldly to find grace and help in time of need. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, and he gives it richly. Lord, how do I juggle these things? He will tell you how to juggle it. It's just that you might not like the answer. Zechariah told the people of God, do not despise small beginnings. When the kingdom of God begins, if you're not spiritual, and insightful. If you're not listening to what your spirit is saying, you'll miss it. You will miss it. They had seen Jesus grow up. They knew his brother. They probably grew up with him in school. And the Messiah was there in the flesh. And they completely missed it because it offended their sensibilities. It offended how they thought it would have been done, how they thought it would have gone down. But when we're spiritually connected, when we're spiritually aware, we can see past the faff, past the carnality, and see what it is God is doing. See what it is God is saying. Everyone saw a 9-foot giant. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine that was bringing dishonor to the name of God. Because he was spiritually aware. He was spiritually discerning. The kingdom is described as treasure hidden in a field. And the person who finds it sells everything they have because they recognize the value. The kingdom is described as a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. He finds one and sells everything that he has so that he can obtain it. The kingdom is like a net or a dragnet where every kind, different diverse things are pulled up. And then the scripture says the good fish are put one side and the bad fish are put somewhere else. What do you mean? You talk about the kingdom of God. What do you mean the good and the bad? What did the Spirit of God say in Chronicles? And we often use this scripture when we're leading in prayer. If my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from, hey, Pastor Steve, turn from their wicked ways. He's talking my people. Then I would hear from heaven and heal the land. Our land is broken, not because of what the devil's doing, not because of the LBQTRAZYWXYZ. I'm telling you, it's us. It's us. It is us. Jesus said when Peter clearly declared who he was, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. He said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. We have the keys to the kingdom. Have you ever been outside a door and needed to get in? Yeah, most of us have. How do you open the door? Has to be the right key, right? If you try and open the door and it's the wrong key, you're not getting in. But he's given us the keys to the kingdom and everything that the kingdom represents, the power, the anointing, the breakthrough. Peter walked and his shadow. Remember, this is the same Peter who said, Lord, as for me, I got your back. Anyone, I'm ready. I'm ready. And Jesus looks at him, probably shook his head and said, oh, Peter, you have no idea. In fact, before the end of today, you're going to deny me. He's like, me, no way. I'm your man. And a small servant girl says, weren't you with Jesus? Me? In fact, the Bible says he cursed. Cursed, you know. I know none of us here ever curse. He cursed. Jesus called him as a fisherman and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus dies, raised from the dead, ascends into heaven. What does Peter go back to doing? But I thought Jesus had called him away from that. But that's the very thing that Jesus called him away from, he went back to. This is the Peter who, when the Jews were around, he would hang out with all the Jews. And then as soon as the main chief Jews went away, he'd hang out with the Gentiles. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. When you're poor in spirit, you recognize how beggarly and useless you are. Look, the Bible says, look, let's not get it twisted. See how not many of you mighty, noble, I mean, we might be mighty in our circles, but in the real world, no one even knows who we are, mate. Let's just settle it. I mean, you might have like 100 followers, but mate, compared to the big guns out there, that ain't squat, mate. How not many noble are called. Jesus takes the things that be not and then turns them around and makes them into it. The kingdom is like a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed. And what it becomes in our life is up to us. It's not up to who you know. It's not up to who you're connected with. It's not based on how much money you've got in your account. It's not based on how many followers you've got on Instagram. It's not based on how fine you look in your thing. Nothing to do with that. It's our hearts willing to yield to His Spirit as He speaks to us. And that journey, as He speaks to us, He says, turn left, we turn left. He says, turn right, we turn right. He says, go straight ahead, we go straight ahead. He says, stop, we stop. He says, trust me. He says, stop speaking, we don't speak. He says, speak, we speak. And now my message. They say I've got 5 minutes, Frankie. Is it 5 minutes? Okay. So as I was going through this, that's why I said the kingdom is a topic we're going to be looking at for years to come. You can't fit it into one. You know, think about degrees. You spend 4 years learning about a subject, and then you spend another 7 years getting a doctorate. So when it comes to things of the kingdom, I mean, we can just go on and on and on and on, and we will be, because the kingdom is awesome. It represents the domain of our King. And so, the kingdom is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts. This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. And because of time, I'm going to paraphrase, all right? We know the story. We may or may not know the story. So basically, Jesus is saying that the kingdom is like a man who wants to settle accounts. So he calls his first servant and he says, look, you owe me. Now the equivalent, let me see if I've got it written down here. Okay. Yeah. All right. So basically, the first chap owes the person money. And how much they owe, in 20 years, they could pay back one talent. And this guy owed 10,000 talents. So that's to give you an idea of the how much this person owed, okay? So in 20 years, in Jesus' time, a person's salary could pay for one talent. This person owed 10,000 talents. And it was time to settle accounts. And the Bible says, let me see if I can find this, in Matthew chapter 18, quickly get there. Right, in verse 26, it says, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. I mean, that's a lie straight away. There's no way you could pay. Because if 20 years is one talent and you owe 10,000, it's impossible. And we do that with God. Oh, God, I promise I'll never do it again. Lie, you see? You well know it's just the fire bun you. So you just think, okay, let me just. There's no way this guy could pay this back. It was impossible. And the Bible says that the master had mercy on him. And he forgave him all his debt. And then the man finds one of his servants. And this servant owes him, is it 100 denarii? Yep. Which is equivalent to 4 months' salary. Now, think about it. How much you earn in a month, right? 4 months is quite a bit. So it was actually a debt. But the Bible says, look at what he said to that servant. He said, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The exact same words he uses that man had used to his master. And the Bible says, he said, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And it says, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So we've got two people who owe a debt. One owes an amount that's impossible to pay back. And the other one owes an amount that technically he could pay back 4 months. And he's talking about God's kingdom. So this shows me that God's kingdom Let me see if I can get this out now. Okay. God's kingdom has people who have debts outstanding that they need to pay to God. Number one. God's kingdom has people who have outstanding debts that they need to pay to others. Number three, God's kingdom has people that require forgiveness and mercy from God. God's kingdom, number four, has people who require forgiveness and mercy from others. And here's a cincher. Number five, God's kingdom has people who have the choice to show forgiveness and mercy to others. Which one are you this morning? Do we have an account that we need to settle with God? Do we have an account we need to settle with somebody else? Are there people that we need to release and show mercy? Surely not. We're talking about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is like this. We have people who owe God and people who owe you. And the thing is, 4 months' salary is a lot. So I wouldn't presume to say to any of us that what the person or persons did to us didn't matter. It did. I'm not going to say it didn't cost you something quite painful. 4 months' salary is a lot of money by anyone's standard. But the principle in God's kingdom isn't the same mercy we need God to show us. God demands that we show others. And so as we are learning about kingdom impact, 101, we need to show forgiveness to others. Remember, we spoke about the kingdom being like a seed, and it's the environment in which the seed finds itself that determines how fruitful it becomes. And I guarantee us, if in our hearts we have unforgiveness, we ain't going anywhere. We can go through the motions, but it's not real. Because Jesus said, forgive others from our hearts. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. The scripture is very clear about the need for us to walk in forgiveness. And when we don't forgive, it's because we choose not to forgive. It's not because we can't forgive. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to choose. And I believe the Spirit of God wants to emphasize to us today, whichever position we find ourselves in, we need to practice forgiveness. And there's some of us here, we need to settle our account with God. Because there are things that we've allowed in our hearts and in our lives that God's saying, it's time to settle an account. Revelation chapter 20. This is the reality of sin. And whilst the topic of sin isn't a popular topic, who gives a rip? Jesus spoke about sin, and there's a reason why he spoke about it. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, and then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I've got 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to close. We're talking about the kingdom. Sin is no joke. It really isn't. We might play with it, but it's not a joke. If you want to see how terrible sin is, look at Calvary. Look at what Jesus faced and went through. Make no mistake, God is a God of love, absolutely. But he's a holy God. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sin. But if we say we are sinless, we are deceived. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, that's sex outside marriage, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, talking about kingdom impact. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There's a reason why it says don't be deceived. It means we can be deceived. And sometimes we give the devil too much credit because sometimes we're quite happy to deceive ourselves. Do not be deceived. Say to your neighbor, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The scripture says in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And in verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In Isaiah, it says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. In Haggai, he said to the people of God, consider your ways. How you're living is not okay. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Gossip, fornication, arrogance, pride, envy, worldliness, selfishness, being unteachable, manipulating people and situations, evil speaking, pornography, adulterous desires, uncleanness, laziness, greed, strife, a longing for what is forbidden, lust, covetousness. The master said it's time to settle accounts. And as I said before, I don't know what account, I know what accounts I need to settle today. I don't know what accounts you need to settle today. Some of us, we need to exercise forgiveness because the unforgiveness we have in our heart, it's not okay. It's time to settle that account. Some of us, we need to settle our account with God because we've strayed. Some of us, we need to release some people. Some of us, we need to make amends for things that we've said and things that we've done and put it right. I don't know. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, he does. And in conclusion, I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man of his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Beloved, it's time for us to settle our accounts with God. It's time for us to settle our accounts. Because he was talking about the kingdom when he gave that parable. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So with every head bowed, just want us to take a minute. And I want us to give us time and space to reflect on what the Lord has spoken to us today and to speak to him in our hearts. If you're listening online or you're watching online, I want to encourage you also. The Spirit of God is everywhere, and he's right there where you are now, to just still your heart and allow him to speak to you and to respond to him. Father, thank you for your word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing divider, dividing the joints and marrow, soul and spirit, Lord. All things are naked before you, Lord, with whom we have to do. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for an increase of your grace upon our hearts today. Father, we say yes to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to seal the word that's been spoken today. Father, you said that you watch over your word to perform it. Father, you said that your kingdom is like a seed. I pray today our hearts would be good soil, that we would hear what your Spirit is saying to us and that our response would be acceptable to you. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.